You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags!
Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
All right, good morning, Sports Rage. I'm George Kurtz. It's the Gabe Morenci, who is at the Dodgers game that did not go the way he would have liked it to go. And no, he hasn't called in yet. So we'll see. He's making his way to the park, crying, weeping, as the Dodgers go down 2-1 in this series, game 4 tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern time there. So mentioned earlier about that play in Boston. Haven't seen that. And no one's really talking about the play that happened in the White Sox game either. All right. This is the one where Grandal hits runner on third base. I don't know if it was first or third or second there, but runner on third base, hits a ground ball to first base. And Yuri Gurriel for the Astros throws the ball home, and he hits Grandal. Grandal is clearly not in the baseline, not even close to being in the baseline. He's on the grass. Now, he did not get hit on purpose, and what I mean by that is he didn't stick his elbow out, or if you're old enough to remember Reggie Jackson in the 78 series, he didn't stick his hip out to get hit by the ball, but the ball hit him. You know, but like I said, he's clearly, while he's running down the first base, on the grass. So he's 2-3 feet out of the baseline. And so now the argument is, well, should Grandal be called out, runner be put back, and all that jazz? Actually, no. Because once again, by rule, the umpire's got this right too, so congratulations to the umpire. They can't call a ball or a strike to save their lives, but they get the weird ones correct. By rule, during the first 45 feet from home to first base, they can pretty much runner can take any direction they want as long as they stay in that direction. So he can run on the grass as long as he doesn't run, you know, also towards the pitcher's mound. That's fine, as long as he stays in that direction. The last 45 feet, he does have to get in that, what do you want to call it, that the rectangular thing on the right-hand side of first base. That's what they can call you off being hit by the ball. So, weird. You would think he has to be at least on the line the whole trip, but no. For whatever reason, I'm guessing because of the right-handed batters, they aren't even with that. So a lot of them do run a little, a little weird directionally, but I still found that strange because, yeah, you know, the White Sox may have ended up winning by, what was it, 12-6, 14-6, but that play started it all. I think it was only 7-6 at the time. That opened the floodgates there. So that could have changed the game. But once again, the umpires did get it correct, which, you know, I said, I'm the first person to tell you, I think the home plate umpires are terrible. You know, I might use a slightly stronger language. We saw that in the Boston game tonight, though. I think, what, was it a Rosarina, the first batter of the game, second batter of the game, actually, was called out on a strike that was a foot high. I mean, it was at his chest. How do you miss that as an umpire? You're right there. It's not like it's on the outside corner where you're sort of guessing. You're right there. How do you not know? I mean, it's a foot high. And he called him out there. I can't wait for Questech. I can't wait for robot umps. I'm not saying, well, it'll be perfect. You know, computerized strike zone, but at least it should be consistent. You know, that what's a strike in the first inning should be a strike in the ninth inning. You know, and vice versa. And there'll be no more of this. The veteran pitcher gets a 22-inch strike zone where the rookie gets a 12-inch strike zone. You know, it drives me insane when we see that. Oh, the strike zone changes from the first inning to the ninth inning. No, enough of that. You know, so that's what I look forward to seeing here. Because, like I said, not a big fan of the umpires behind the plate there. You know, it just makes no thing that makes me angry here. You know, so I hope they get rid of that. As we welcome in our Sirius XM audience, Sports Rage Late Night, I'm George Kurtz, filling in for Gabe Morenci. Gabe will be back tomorrow. You know, well, we think he will be. Maybe this loss has really got to him. By the way, you know, we're sort of having, I don't want to say we're having fun with Gabe, I don't think we are, but they lost tonight. You're going to be on the air live with him tomorrow, Matthias. If they lose that game and they get eliminated, good luck to you. And, you know, I could see him just flipping out, by the way. I could see him flipping out if they would lose that game tomorrow.
When, technically, when things go right, he doesn't get mad. So I'm going to pray to the technology gods that they give me a good time tomorrow. Because he's actually a pretty chill dude, whether his teams lose or win. He actually lets it out on the air if they lose, which is better radio.
Oh, it is. It is. Let's roll! You know, I love Gabe. He's a lot of fun. A lot of fun because you can say anything you want to him. But the best thing about me being on him not being here is I can make the clicks on my freaking mouse. I can bang my desk. The guy has the best hearing I've ever seen. I don't know how he hears all this stuff. hears my mouse clicking. He would probably hear my computer keyboard if I hit key. I mean, my God. And, you know, I'm sorry it drives him crazy, but, wow, he's got some damn good hearing, which I do not have. I actually have tinnitus. Oh, that's fun, by the way. I had
an ear infection. This is a chance for you to vent your rage. Vent your rage on Gabe. I can hear you breathing, Kurtz.
Yeah, right. He probably can. He can hear my heartbeat. It's like, holy God. No, sometimes with Gabe, I guess it's all in good fun. I enjoy working with Gabe. Always have. I like guys who are just, you know, I can say anything I want to him. And he's not going to get offended. He'll go right back at me and away we go. I think it's the way to be in life, actually. Have fun. I find that we don't agree on any teams, right? He's a Dodger fan, I'm a Yankee fan. He's a Bills fan, I'm a Cowboy fan. He's a Canadian fan, I'm an Islander fan. So, you know, I wish I would have known him in the 90s. I'd had a lot of fun with the Bills and Cowboys in the 90s. This year, nowadays, it's really all him. I don't think other than the Islanders or the Canadians, and even the Canadians got further than the Islanders did last year. Not much I can get back on him on. So, he's doing pretty well when you think about it. I just thought about this. Dodgers. You know, they won last year. Well, let's see what happens this year. Canadians get to the finals. The Bills, I think, are the best team in the AFC. Anybody want to doubt this, by the way? Anybody want to fight this, that the Bills are the best team in the AFC? You know, the Bills, Arizona. Sports Rage, late night. I'm George Kurtz. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Nobody wants to hear the nonsensical ravings of a loudmouthed malcontent.
This is Sports Rage Late Night. Late Night Anger Management Class. Let's roll.
I gotta love Gabe. I truly do. Anyway, took a little NFL injuries today. We find out some. Listen, the Giants are a mess. We know that. We talked about that earlier. Daniel Jones, what are you doing initiating that kind of contact, Daniel? Actually went head-to-head with a couple of linebackers. Not the brightest move here. And there was someone pointed out that Daniel Jones should have been penalized on the play for leading with his head. They never penalized the offensive player for that, by the way. But technically, you're right. He should have been. But I don't understand why Garrett would even call that kind of play to have almost a naked bootleg out there. And Jones has learned to get down. I know you're a very good running quarterback, but you cannot be taking on linebackers there. Saquon Barkley, the good news on him is, yes, if you saw the replay on him yesterday, that was a big, big knot on his ankle. I mean, that was a grapefruit-sized knot. See if I can speak English tonight. On his ankle there. So, but the good news is, looks like he's only going to miss a game or two. Not long-term here. It's not a high ankle sprain. It's more of a low ankle sprain. So the Giants could get him back. I don't know if it matters much other than you get Saquon Barkley back. The Giants are a mess. Bottom line is they're a mess. Galladay, he's out at least this week. Hyperextension of the knee. Maybe they get Shepard back. Maybe they get Slayton back. Shepard did quasi-practice late last week, so I think that's a decent sign that he could play this week for the Giants. I think they're playing the Rams, so it may not matter. It's not going to go well for the Giants. Truly not. It's not going well for the football teams in New York. Right, Matias, you're an Atlanta Falcon fan. You beat the Jets, right? That's great. Are you a fan? I just thought about you're out in, you're on the West Coast. Did you wake up to watch the game?
I did, Kurtz. I did wake up to watch the game, but I'm used to it, Kurtz. I lived in Hawaii for 12 years. You know that. And the game always started at 7 a.m. every Sunday until daylight savings time when it changed to 8 a.m. And it was a great experience. You know, going to bars, going to places over there at 7 to 8 a.m. You'd be surprised how many people were there ready to go at 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. just ready to rock with their teams.
I lived in New York my entire life. All right, I was born in Queens. My family moved to Long Island when I was about 5, and I keep moving out further on Eastern Long Island. But my wife and I know that, you know, we're not going to live here forever. I'm getting tired of freezing several parts of my body off each winter, and eventually I do want to go to a warmer climate. And I thought the same thing, because one of my, a good friend of mine went moved to Vegas about 2 years ago. Like, if I moved out there, the hardest thing to me would be, or the weirdest thing to me would be, that the sports games, they're all done. Right, games are over by 10. The whole slate is over by 10. Yankee games to start at 4 o'clock. NFL football, once again, is over, you know, by what, 8:30 on a Sunday? That would be strange. They start, the game would start at 10 a.m. 6:30 a.m. waking up for the England game. I got to tell you, the Falcons-Jets yesterday, probably not waking up for that. Not at 6:30. And this week, what is it, Dolphins-Jaguars? I am definitely not waking up for that. Not at 6:30. I'll be up at 9:30. You know, I'll wake up at 8, go to the gym, and start my day from there. I'll do that. Are you a fan of the England, are you a fan of the games in England as a whole?
I don't care, Kurt, to tell you the truth. If it did bother me, it's maybe I had a party on Saturday night the night before and I have to wake up early. That would bother me. But besides that, look, it grows the game. And you know, when you travel out of the country, one of the first things you hear when people want to talk trash is you guys in your football, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's because they don't understand it. And anybody who watches football long enough and enjoys it and enjoys the competitive nature of it is going to enjoy to love the game, because it's one of the most competitive games out there. It's one of the most competitive things, a handicap as well. You know, that's how competitive it is. You know, you really see that many bad teams in the NFL. So when you're looking for a high level of competition, and when I think of people like athletes and people who follow sports, one of the best things about them is that they're very competitive. That's why they love sports. So anybody that's a competitive person, female or male, they're going to love football because it's one of the most competitive sports in the world. So I'm all about growing the game and spreading it out.
I mean, my problem is this. I can't argue with your viewpoint there. That's a valid point, spreading the game, blah, blah. And we all know the NFL is all about money. They don't care about anything else. But in football, you know, those games are important. You have 8 home games. You might have 9. If you're an AFC a team this year, you have 9. Next year, the NFC will have 9, as we have the weird 17-game season. Those games are important. And to take away a home game, I don't care that I think the Falcons were technically the home team yesterday. But there was no home field advantage. You know, there's nothing there. You just thought you were technically the home team. You can wear whatever color jersey you want. Yay! Yay! So that's my problem with it. That, you know, it's not like a baseball team. You know, when the Yankees and Red Sox played in England a couple of years ago, that's fine. Was it a 2-game series, a 3-game series? Fine, go for it. You know, it's 3 of 162. It doesn't mean anything. You know, but in football, it does. It just does. So that's my issue there. And by the way, and I'm not trying to pick on your Falcons, but really, if we're going to, believe me, I wouldn't really be sorry anyway. But if we're really going to, you know, grow the game, Falcons, Jets, Miami, Jaguars, really?
Sure.
Really?
No, absolutely. That is a big but at the same time, when I was watching the Falcons game this past Sunday morning, and when I saw Hayden Hurst score that touchdown, that arena, you know, that stadium in London was sold out. It was sold out to the bone, and that was the place to be. There's no soccer going on that weekend. They were all off on international duty. So that was the sport of the country. People are coming in from all around Europe to catch some of that game. And if you ask me, the Falcons did play like the home team on Sunday, which I was surprised. I picked against the Falcons this Sunday because I didn't think they were going to have any juice. I thought they dropped a big egg against Washington when they were, you know, pretty much leading the entire game. And I thought they had that game in the bag. The Falcons were the Colts, essentially, of tonight. They gave the game away. I didn't think they were going to rebound and travel over, you know, over the Atlantic Ocean and be ready to play a game against a team that stunned the Titans and won their first game of the season. I was wrong. And I was wrong because the people in London gave the Falcons juice. They were more juiced up than the people in Atlanta were, Kurtz. You know why? Because the people in Atlanta know that the Falcons suck. At least the people in England, they don't know whether they suck or not. They just think that they suck. You know, there's no real hate for the Falcons in England right now. They're just happy to get some football, man. And I think that helped them out. I really do. The Falcons played with some juice, and that's why they won. They came. Look at the first half that they played. They smoked them in the first half.
You know, after that whole little rant you went on, you know what sticks in my mind? That in England they were on international duty. What does that mean? Seriously, what does that mean?
For soccer. So that means there was no Premier League over the weekend. You know, they have a professional soccer league in England, the EPL. I'm sure you've heard of it. Actually,
thank
you, Kurtz. You've probably never heard of the EPL.
I've heard of it.
But with there's no EPL. So the fans are free. You know, they're not going to skip, you know, the Everton game, you know, in Liverpool. to go watch football? No, no ways. Absolutely not. But with no soccer being around and England didn't play that day, it was all football. It was all American football all up for them over there in England. So they were loving it, Kurtz. You know, it was an American football parade in England.
Well, that's good to know. All right, so coming up next, Gabe and I recorded a couple of segments on Saturday night. As we're talking NHL, so that's what you're going to hear the next couple of segments here. NHL starts tomorrow. Two games tomorrow. One at 7:30, one at 10:30, both on ESPN. I cannot tell you enough that I think ESPN getting the rights back to the NHL is a great thing for the NHL. They need ESPN. Listen, it's never going to be one of the top three sports. It'll never be that. But they need ESPN to cover it. They just do. Whether you like ESPN or not, it's good for the NHL. Game one tomorrow's Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay. Pittsburgh, no Malkin. He's out until, they say, December. Crosby, he was supposed to be out until November, but now he's more of that way. He's not going to make the opening road trip, three games, but he could play after that. So that's good news for the Penguins here. That being said, I think they're going to get smoked by the Lightning tomorrow. I don't like Pittsburgh at all this season, period. Second game, night game, the Kraken open up. We'll see the Kraken, but they're playing the Vegas Golden Knights. I think the Kraken are going to get smoked, too. So I'll be a parlay of some sort on the Vegas tomorrow. Give me the Lightning and the Vegas Golden Knights. Sports Rage, great night. We're back. Gabe and I after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Confidence that comes from having the winning edge. Yay! We thought so. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The countdown to puck drop is on. That's right. We're adding another sport to the rotation. And we know that our main man, George Kurtz, is fired up about this. Countdown is on, Kurtz. And I got to tell you what, man. Feels like it was 2 weeks ago that I was at the Montreal Canadiens and Tampa Bay Lightning game.
That is so true, right? The NHL is truly the never-ending season. I mean, it never ends here. It does feel like we just had the Stanley Cup awarded a couple of weeks ago, and now we're ready to begin a new season tomorrow.
All right, so let's take a look at some of the milestones that are on the table right now with a new season starting. Let's start off with some goals. Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby needs 14 goals to become the 46th player in NHL history to reach 500. He's reached at least 24 goals in 13 of his 16 seasons in the National Hockey League. And I think it's safe to say that he'll get 14 or more this year, but we should note he's going to be missing the first month of the season, if not more.
He's missing the first month. And listen, I think he's skating. He looks like he's going to be back probably somewhere around November. But what might worry me a little bit more is this. It's a wrist injury, right? Wrist shot, slap shot. You need that to shoot. I wonder if that's injury going to be fully healed or if it could re-injure himself again. And let me another question. He's up there in age. Do we really believe he's not going to get hurt again? I mean, he's going to miss what? I didn't count the games. Let's say 10 games. Now he's down to 72. I have a hard time seeing him play 72 games
again. His conditioning
again.
Is great, though, right? This guy is in shape, you know?
Yeah, I would take the – listen, I think he's going to get it. I do. But I think he's going to slaughter it. I don't think he's going to be a 30-goal scorer this season, maybe 26 goals, 25, somewhere around there.
I agree, which would get him into the 500 club, one of the greatest players ever to play the game. And just how serious Sidney Crosby is, guys – I know people from his hometown. So I've told the story before, but when they won, you know, he's won the Stanley Cup a few times, but once when they won the Stanley Cup, it was the last time they won the Cup. He went back. He goes back home all the time. So Cole Harbour in Nova Scotia, Halifax is the biggest, quote unquote, main city. Our boy McInnes lives there. So Crosby went out to like a local bar restaurant and a couple of other, the Penguins were there, including Malkin. So, like, they came with him to his hometown type of stuff. You know, they play golf, they hang out. And so they're in a local restaurant / bar restaurant. And it's like Crosby's first time back. There's a bunch of Penguins there. They just win the cup. And everybody was, like, blasted, George. Right? Like, the story was, like, Malkin was, like, you know, Malkin just was hammered. Like, everyone on the Penguins was hammered, all having a great time. And Crosby was, like, asking Malkin, how do you put this stuff in your body like this? And somebody, they ordered shots and they're having beers. And somebody said, hey, Sid, we're going to have a celebratory shot. He said, no, I'm good. And he drank water. And my buddy's buddy asked him. He said, let me ask you, man. He goes, you never have a beer, never have a drink. He goes, you just won the Stanley Cup. Like, he knows Crosby, so he can talk to him. Like, yeah, you just won the Stanley Cup, Sid. What's up? He goes, no, I don't drink alcohol at all, ever. Like, the guy's a health fiend, bro. Like, he watches what he eats. Like, he's sort of like a Tom Brady type. You know what I mean?
And that's great. Isn't that why he's one of the best? Because he has that kind of discipline. I mean, personally, I think that's fantastic. I wouldn't blame him for having a beer after he won the cup, have a, you know, a drink or whatever. I mean, for a couple of reasons. Hey, you just
but Father Time is undefeated, Kurtz.
And you have
right,
3 months off. 3 months off. You can enjoy yourself.
I know. You can get over the hangover. Hey, listen, when Ovechkin won the cup, he drank for 3 months.
That was fantastic, though. Come on. Nobody had more fun than Alexander Ovechkin, at least not that we know about in this day and age, right? He was a blast. He was walking in fountains, swimming in fountains with the Nationals game. He was great. AO's my favorite player in the NHL because he's great, great goal scorer. He's not a wimp. He'll take hits, although he did get hurt over the weekend, or I guess before the weekend. We don't know if he's going to play this week, so we'll see. But he's my favorite player in the NHL because of the way he plays that. He's not a goal scorer you can't touch. You know, you can touch Alexander Ovechkin. He'll give it back to you. He probably also should have been suspended a few times over the years, but that's the NHL for you.
No, he'll give it as good as he'll take it, and people don't really even want to give it to him because they know he won't back down. It's a great point that you raised. Listen, Kurtz, I'm being serious here. If Alexander Ovechkin was Canadian, he'd already be anointed like one of the greatest players of all time in the history of the game. Like, there is that sort of Russian bias. I know, listen, you know, he's one of the faces of hockey in the United States, but I'm talking about with the hockey boys, you know what I'm saying? The Don Cherries of the world and everybody. They've been reluctant, but it's a great point that you raise. He's a complete player. He's a badass. So, 766. The Washington Capitals forward is sixth in NHL history with 730 goals. And he can climb into third place before the season ends. He's one behind Marcel Dion, former Los Angeles King, great player, 731 goals. Brett Hull, 741. And he's 36 goals away from tying Jaromir Jagr, 766. Really puts in perspective how great Dion, Hull, and Jagr really were, aren't it? Doesn't it? Ovechkin scored 24 goals last year. His first time in 16 NHL seasons, he didn't score at least 30. What do you make of Ovechkin? And can Ovechkin get the all-time record, do you think, Kurtz? Because people in Canada are panicking. Like, Gretzky fans, like, hate even talking about it.
Listen, I think he can. Yes, I think he can. Although he is getting hurt more now.
It's because of the style that he plays that you respect so much.
Right. He's not looking to avoid contact. He is getting
banged. He's almost like a Lindros type, right, that lasted longer.
Yes, really, that kind of body type, yeah. I think it would behoove him to maybe avoid the contact as much as possible now, but a couple things in his favor. He only had 24 goals last year, but that was in 56 games, I'm sure.
Exactly, shortened season.
Anyway. Right, so he would have scored 30 in a normal season here. I think the days of 50-plus goals, they're done, but we have to remember the Capitals, everything is fed to him, and he's never met a puck that he will not shoot. He shoots everything, and that's not going to change. So they're going to keep feeding him. He just signed a five-year contract. There's a reason they gave him 5 years. You do the math. To catch the great one, he needs about 34, 35 goals a season to average to catch him there, and he'll catch it. So, yes, I want him to because it's a player we're able to watch. And I don't care if he does, by the way. He's the greatest goal scorer ever. Gretzky's the greatest player ever. But Ovechkin, with what these goalies wear nowadays, where they're wearing Michelin pads in there.
It's a good point.
He's the greatest goal scorer ever for me.
It's almost sacrilegious. And listen, I'm a Wayne guy. You know, my uncle played with him. I met Wayne Gretzky. He gave me an autographed stick, etc. So it's almost crazy to say out loud. But I don't know. Like, if Wayne Gretzky had the best career. I don't know if he's the greatest player. You know what I'm saying? He had the best career. Like, let's just be real. He was 170 pounds, Kurtz. He never got touched. He'd get murdered in today's NHL.
Yes.
Like, we could go on, Kurtz, right? Like, we could go on. Like, could Ovi play back? How many goals would Ovi play if scored when he played in that era, bro? He might have broken 100, Kurtz. I'm not even exactly.
He'd have 1,000
goals. He might have broken 100.
He'd have 1,000. Because no goalie could stop that shot that he takes now. It's different eras. I get it. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. If he played that era, forget about it. He almost never could catch it. Ever, ever, ever. But then I would bring you this. How many players would break that? I think Patrick Kane might have more goals. You go on and on and on with all these guys nowadays.
An old guy, though, that's on your team, the New York Islanders, that I think is one of the greatest pure goal scorers of all time. And I believe still to this day, if you go goals per game by average, my guy, Mike Bossy, one of the purest, greatest goal scorers ever. But Mike Bossy told me on an interview, and I used to interview Mike a lot. He lives in Montreal, and I was doing the Canadian stuff, right? So, you know, Bossy's a legend, obviously, in New York, but he lives in Montreal. And Mike told me that, like, they would get crushed. Like, so it was him. He said that. He said, I would get crushed against these guys. And I even said, no, because I was like, nah. Like, he told me at the time, the Florida Panthers were the worst time in the NHL at the time, George. It's like 15 years ago or something. He said the worst team in the NHL would have beaten his Islanders teams.
I agree.
It bothered me that he even said it, but that's from Mike Bossy. He said, Gabe, they're just bigger, stronger, faster, bro. He goes, we wouldn't. He goes, the Florida Panthers would beat us. That's what he said.
Think about it. I mean, in all sports, it's not just hockey, by the way. Any football team from the 70s would get crushed by the Jets today. I mean, they would
have snowballed. What about baseball, though, George? Do you think can baseball match up? Like, Don Drysdale's Don Drysdale. Sandy Koufax, Bob Gibson was Bob Gibson, right? Nolan Ryan, 100-mile-an-hour fastball is 100-mile-an-hour fastball, right?
But how many guys threw 100 back then?
Yeah, right.
Come on, you and I growing up, it was Nolan Ryan.
I know.
J.R. Richards, that's it.
And I remember all the shortstops and second basemen were skinnier than me, right? It was acceptable, George, to be a shortstop and hit 212. And you were like, ah, that's cool. Don't worry about it.
I remember people telling me that, you know, Mickey Mantle was the size back then of your average shortstop. Your average guy, that's how big he was. For then, yeah, he was a monster. But for nowadays, he's nothing. You know, Babe Ruth did so well back in the 20s and 30s because he was a freak back then.
You're right. He was bigger than everybody, right?
Right, he was bigger. Fatter, yes, but he was bigger. And he obviously had God-given talent.
Big bone, Kurtz. Big boned.
Big bone. We'll call him Big Bone. Listen, it's funny. When you look at some of the old videos of Babe, he doesn't look as big as everybody makes to make him out.
No! I've been saying that forever. Just because John Goodman played him in a movie doesn't mean he's actually fat like that for real. A lot of people see, like, older pictures of him. I've seen pictures like 1927, 28, 29, George. He's not fat. He's just a bigger dude.
Right. He's not a big fat lard or anything like that. I agree with you. I think because Goodman played him in The Babe, which, by the way, is a decent movie, I thought. That was all right.
You never see anything. You saw that one? Yeah.
I think I had the DVD, actually, still, too. I actually got – and I don't lie. I'm not a
he's
big –
He's actually a good guy to play him, though, isn't it? Like, you can't argue with it.
Happy-go-lucky, right? Because that's what everybody looks at Babe like, happy-go-lucky. So I thought he played him well. I thought the baseball part of it was bad because it doesn't look like Goodman ever played. Or at least he wasn't a left-hander at that. So that bothered me a little bit. But the movie itself was all right.
George Kurtz kicking it with us. So, speaking of the New York Islanders, Zach Parise is 7 goals away, George, from the 400 club. It's not 500, but still hell of a career that he's had. How do you feel about your Islanders coming into the year?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Islanders, they're still built for the playoffs, right? They're a team you don't want to play in the playoffs because they'll wear you down. Over the long season here is probably my biggest worry because they do fall out of Trotz's system from time to time. That's when you'll see them get beat up. They're losing games 4-1, 5-1 because they're trying to play more offensive and they can't play like that. But this team is really, like I said, it's built to play. I mean, win a playoff series. They added some talent. You added Parise. You added Chara. You re-signed Palmieri to get you maybe some secondary scoring. I know the joke would be they have no primary scoring, which I understand that. Anders Lee is back here. So I said they're built, and they should play well here. Varlamov is banged up. He's probably not going to be able to start the season with the team. He hasn't played at all in training camp, so it will be Sorokin with Schneider backing him.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
Bob, the biggest worry for the Islanders is this. Chara, what's he, 50? Eddie Green is up there. Boy, those are 2 years top six defensemen, and they're up there in age.
They're
a
veteran
team.
Have
a chance for that.
Yeah, and
they're built to win now.
And even if they stay healthy, can they stay healthy into
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
management class. The Monday Night Meltdown continues. It's Morency and Kurtz tonight. We're doing this thing, and we're getting ready to drop the puck. And I got to tell you, Kurtz, you know, a lot of sports. We're sports hosts, and we'll talk, oh, you know, this is a big game. We're fired up, etc. But I genuinely am excited. Like, I'm not just saying, like, you know what I mean? I'm genuinely excited to have hockey back. And even though it is a long season, it's the beautiful thing about the NHL, guys. They really do bring it every night, Kurtz. They really do. Dude, they were fighting in the preseason. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, teams were fighting. Coaches were getting mad. Tippett nearly lost it after a win once. He's like, God, we're getting ready for the regular season next week. We're doing a lot of things wrong. Like, I love the intensity of hockey. And especially in the first week, the first games, it'll be intense, George. These teams are going to come out flying.
Oh, I think it's going to be a fun season. I do. ESPN, I think, taking over the rights to it, I think that is great for hockey.
Yeah,
you may hate ESPN,
awesome.
You may love ESPN, but they'll cover it. They need ESPN to cover hockey and not ignore it like they usually do. Right? Buchagross has got that show now, The Point. That's going to be on every Thursday, I think, at 5 p.m. Eastern time. That's good for hockey to get the ESPN involved here. I would like to see this Eichel situation eventually resolved. I think that's bad for the game to have a superstar like that. We don't know where he's going to play. It won't be in Buffalo. They stripped him of his captaincy, for crying out loud. And I'd like to see Mr. Leonard calm down a little bit. He seems like he's trying to bring down the NHL, too. But I'm looking forward to the season. I like the game that... Yeah, usually hockey starts a week ago, which would be right when the playoffs start in baseball. I'm glad it waited a week for whatever. I guess they want to give the players a week rest after a shortened off season. So I'm glad that we're in the middle of the baseball playoffs now.
I agree.
And hockey now is going to pick up a little bit. I think it gives me a little bit more, oh, good, hockey's really here. I'm not fighting because, you know, the Yankees have their one game and then lose.
Yeah, normally hockey starts on like October 3rd or something, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, you're right. And it's head-to-head. You're like, oh, there's all this stuff going on. Well, hey, listen, they have to get back on track. As far as Robin Leonard is concerned, the media really didn't run with it too much. That's what the NHL media likes to do, sweep things under the carpet, right? But I tweeted it out at the time, George. Any other league, this is a major story. I mean, the guy basically accused the league teams of illegal activity. And he said...
Drug dealers.
Yeah, he basically said, we all know what happens. And then I liked how he dropped, though... Except, no, it doesn't happen here in Vegas, but everywhere else. And I don't know. I thought it was out of line, personally, in a sense. It's not your business, Leonard. We all know everyone's a drug addict in the NHL. Fine. But you don't play for the Philadelphia Flyers. Like, what's the deal about him going after Alain Vigneault like that?
They must have some kind of personal history there. That would be my guess. What bothered me more about this is that, not so much that, but after he met with the NHL, the NHL Players Association, he backed off a little bit. Oh, I really didn't mean the name Vigneault and that sort of thing. And that, yeah, stick to your guns here. If you're going to go after him, go after him.
Especially like when you tweet, I don't care if I upset people with this, right?
Apparently you did care. You know?
And so let's be real.
That bothered me a little.
And nobody's commenting on Eichel now. He's commenting on Eichel's situation. He's commenting on other team situations. Bro, you're the goalie of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And... not to mention, too, he's discussed having mental health issues.
Yes.
So you've got mental health issues. Fine. Like, we all sympathize, right? We sympathize. You don't help when you go on and you're bringing it on Twitter like this.
You go up to
people. I mean, it's hard to say, oh, just leave me alone. I just want to play hockey. I have mental health issues when you're on Twitter calling everyone out every day.
I agree. He's probably the wrong person to go about this, especially without it. He says he has proof. Okay, let's see it. Don't tell me you have proof and then we don't see the proof. I hate that. If you have proof, let's see what you're talking about here. But this, I know this didn't come as a surprise to you. Really? Hockey players, a physical sport like this, are taking painkillers? Really? I'm shocked.
Yeah, but he's snitching out on other players. This is the deal, like with me, because the fact is, it's not pretty, George, but we all know. Sports leagues cannot exist without this stuff. The human body can't play hockey for 7 months, guys, without medication. And is it being abused? Yeah. Listen, I was a crazy story. I remember from a couple of years ago, George, the DEA actually like shut the NFL down. So the Drug Enforcement Agency met with every NFL team doctor in a room together. And they said, listen, you guys are way out of control. You remember like the New Orleans Saints a few years ago? There's no pills were accounted for. It was basically like Tic Tacs. There was a bowl. And even Peyton was helping himself, right? Remember?
Yes.
The coach, they basically said everybody's just fried in New Orleans, that there's just pills everywhere. And the DA reminded team doctors, you're not allowed to travel across state lines. Like, you're smuggling drugs. Like, you're not, these aren't prescriptions. You're bringing like 5,000 pills with you and just discriminately passing them out. And you know it was the Dallas Cowboy doctor, but he got up and he basically started mouthing off back to the TA.
Probably said, not you know, a good idea.
Yeah, he said, my owner donates so much money to all these. What are you wasting our time for, right? And it was the kind of like basically allegedly, right? He said, what are you wasting our time for? Like, and then I guess all the doctors told the DA, fine, do you want the NFL to exist or not, right? Like, they didn't back down. And they said, unless we give these guys these drugs, there will be no NFL. And all the doctors started getting mouthy and stuff. And somebody, the DA said, the only plane in America that is legally allowed to have drugs on it is Air Force One, all right? And they said that they're more important than Air Force One, and they're right. Well, they did. They said, well, you know, the NFL is every bit as important, and, if you know, NFL football. And they basically told the DA guys, suck it and whatever. We're buddies with the senators. We're buddies with every governor. We've already got everyone in the pocket. You're not going to shut us down. But they really did tighten things up, because I saw Pat McAfee talking about it the other day about the Leonard stuff, and A.J. Hawk would know. And A.J. Hawk admitted, too. He said, oh, I was a free-for-all in the Packers room in the old days with pills. And he said they cracked down on it. Like, they did crack down. Like, it's accountable now. Brett Favre had a big problem with the pills, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not surprising. This goes back forever, right? What was the movie in the 70s? Remember North Dallas 40 that the NFL yep. hated when that came out? That was pretty close to the truth about what happens there. They were taking what Toradol was big back then, right? The shot for Toradol. And the NFL thinks they run the world, right? Or at least it runs the United States. Think about what they did to ESPN. I forget the name of the show that was on, maybe.
Oh, yeah, they bullied them about the, ballers or rookies or whatever the hell. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Playmakers, Playmakers. That was it, Playmakers.
It was a good show. I enjoyed that show.
Yeah, but they were like, hey, this is way too realistic. Yeah, they were
like, season two. You don't have Sunday night. Well, I think they had Sunday night football.
Yeah, they threatened them with this.
So, and ESPN backed down.
I've never seen The Rock show Baller. Supposedly, it's pretty good, too. Like, it's realistic and stuff.
I've heard it's good.
I don't have time to watch everything, Kurtz. Neither do you, right? We're doing shows, and it's like, it's hard.
I'm watching Sons of Anarchy now. I think I'm up to the last episode, but I've already seen it 2 or 3 times.
My uncle played. I mentioned, so my uncle played for the Edmonton Oilers, the Quebec Nordiques, the St. Louis Blues, et cetera. And point blank, like, he didn't even hide it. But he had a problem. And he was kind of he got into a lot of fights and stuff, right? He was an enforcer, so he got in a lot of fights. But point blank, George, he was literally taking, like, 12 hits of speed before every game. Like, in the old days, what do you call them? Uppers, greenies, whatever you want to call them in those days.
Greenies.
Yeah, so basically he literally told me, he goes, I take about 10 or 12 of these things, and then after, what does he have to do? Guy's wired.
Take downers.
Yeah, take the downers and hit the booze in the hotel room, right? Because you're shaking, your nose is busted, you just got in another fight, you're shaking, and you know the deal. The fighters, they didn't like fighting, right? It took an emotional toll on them and stuff, so like they're... He had a problem. He's a born-again Christian now, actually. You know what I mean? It's amazing. Sports, there is a fine line, but we were talking about how Leonard handled it. I don't know if that was great, but I don't know. What about Vegas this year? You like Edmonton or Vegas more? Vegas, big win total here, 105.5 for their season points, but their division isn't very difficult. There's a lot of beatable teams in there.
Bingo. For me, that's what it's all about with Vegas. There's nobody in their division. I mean, I think they're going to do very well. Leonard's, he may be a head case, but he's a very good goaltender. My biggest worry, it doesn't get hurt. They don't have Fleury anymore. You don't have that great two-goalie system. You could look at it that way. But if Leonard stays healthy for 55, 60 games, they're going to be fantastic. So, yeah, I like Vegas a lot. Edmonton, my problem, Gabe, with Edmonton is this. Yeah, I know you're going to score goals. Great. Fantastic. Can you stop them? Can you stop? I mean, they're a great in-game play every night. You watch them up. This is going to be one of those 6-4 nights. Keep hitting the over. The over, over and over again. That's my biggest issue. I think they'll make the playoffs, probably. But once the playoffs come and teams lock it down defensively, you know, and McDavid and Draisaitl are not going to run wild, you're done. So I don't like what they've done in goal. Mike Smith, really? Mike Smith, again?
I know.
He's not your answer, and your defense isn't good enough. No.
I wonder about that with the Leafs, with Campbell. You buy into Campbell? I mean, he's okay, but are you really running the table, going through the season, all the way through the playoffs with Campbell as your goalie?
I wonder.
They got Mazarek now too, right?
Yeah, they get Mrazek's day. Yay! I wonder this with Campbell. I think Frederik Andersen is a better goaltender, but I think Campbell was a better goaltender for that team, for the style they play. I think Andersen's a better goaltender in a traditional, you know, hockey sense.
Yeah.
But I think Campbell might be better for the wide open style. I think that's what I believe. But Can he get it done for, once again, 55, 60 games, 50 games, 45? I think, once again, I like their goaltending better, like Mike Smith and Edmonton, but they're another team. A lot of overs, a lot of goals coming. And to win the cup, no, you're not going to win a cup with Campbell. You're just not going to. Love your talent. You're a fun team to watch. I play in fantasy leagues. Yeah, I want to grab all these guys. Props, absolutely. Give me Tavares. Give me Matthews, Nylander, Marner. Give me them all. But to win the cup, no. It's too difficult to do it with that goaltender. You need an A goaltender, especially when Vasilevsky's in your division.
I hate you know, given the same teams as last year, when people ask, well, who do you like this year? You know what I mean? Everyone wants to be cute and have that, oh, this team, right, at 25 to 1. Watch out for these guys. I think Tampa are on a mission. I mean, who can knock them off? Like, they might be that much better than everybody, George. Like, we saw. Both you and I teams tried last year, and you came closer, but – and they're not even 100% ever, and they still are better than everyone. Like, has anyone closed the gap on the Lightning? Because I think they're on a mission to win three in a row.
Once again, I think the only chance they lose, or a better chance, they're not healthy. Just not healthy.
Everybody gets hurt, yeah.
Right. I mean, but any team could say that, but Vasilevsky's the best goaltender in the NHL. Kucherov, all right, he's not the best player. Was he top three?
Yeah, Sam, he's a top five top for 10. Sure. Yeah.
All right, you want to point out that they
– Braden Point?
Brandon Point, and he's an unknown star, right? No one talks about him. This would be a star on any other team. But no, we don't talk about him because it's on Tampa Bay. We got to worry about Stamkos and Kucherov and Vasilevsky and Hedman. And then, oh, yeah, you got Brandon Point, too. If you want to point being negative, all right, they did get hit for that third line, right? They lost all those guys to either free agency or the expansion draft. But they replaced them. I mean, I don't know about you. I like what Tampa Bay did as far as replacing those guys. Corey Perry's now there. Then add a different kind of player. But now you add some grit, some anger. And I think that could be good for Tampa Bay to be able to play that kind of game. So, yes, it's Tampa Bay and then everybody else.
Cooper's a great coach, too. Cooper's a great coach. And Cooper will actually be coaching Team Canada. In the Olympics. I wondered, because I was like, man, how come this guy's not in contention for the job? Because he didn't win the cup. Now he's got a couple of cups. They're all sucking up to him, right? Hey, you want to coach Team Canada? And he's actually a dual citizen. He's American. He's a dual citizen, U.S. and Canada.
He went to Hofstra. It's on Long Island, which is...
He was a public defender. I never knew that. He's an attorney. I studied to be a public defender. No. He was in courtrooms, this guy.
I don't know how that translates to becoming a great hockey coach. I have no idea. Other than you can defend your players, the Department of Player Safety. But that's...
Well, he knows how to deal with the room now. He's dealt with worse. It's like, hey, listen, I got a guy off for murder. I can deal with my...
Burns is a cop, right? They would have gotten along well if Burns was still around.
George Kurtz with us. All right, great stuff talking hockey. Quickly, Kurtz, we only got a couple of seconds here before the break. What about opening night here? Penguins at Lightning, Lightning minus 170, Kraken at Knights. Knights big favorites.
I got a parlay for both, man. Give me the favorites. I don't like Pittsburgh, and I do not like the Kraken this year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome back, Sports Grid. Sports Rage Late Night. I'm George Kurtz. Gabe Morency was at the Dodgers game tonight. He did call in, by the way. So if you're wondering, he did call in. He forgot that we had two recorded segments, which is kind of funny, by the way, because he's the one who set up when the segments would record. It wasn't like Matias and I did this. This is all Gabe. He decided to show when those segments would air. He forgot. Maybe he'll call back in. I certainly wouldn't be betting on it, but maybe. But it's good to know that Gabe is alive, that he hasn't jumped off the top of Dodger Stadium. He does realize there's another game tomorrow. So, once again, NHL starts tomorrow. Two games before he really gets started. I would say the season truly starts on Thursday on the Island of Fan. The Islanders have lost in the conference finals the past 2 years to Tampa Bay. So Islanders, tough opening to the season because they are going to have the new Coliseum. I forget what they're calling it offhand on the Queens-Nassau border out in Elmont, New York, which is where I grew up. Islanders will begin the season, I believe, on a 13-game road trip. So that should be interesting, huh? Other news and notes in the NHL. Alexander Ovechkin got banged up last Thursday. He's day-to-day. Looks like he might play in the season opener on Wednesday. He might not play in the season opener Wednesday. One thing about the NHL, I was hoping this would go away with gambling being more legal through most states here and a lot of these arenas having a betting parlor there. I was hoping they would stop with the state secrets about injuries and be more open about it. They're not. They're as secretive as ever. They don't have an injury report like football, at least where you know what the injury is. It's always lower body, upper body. It's annoying. That being said, he is day-to-day. Auston Matthews will not play in the first three games off of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Wrist surgery is coming back from, so we won't see Auston Matthews. Hopefully, maybe next week, but you're not going to see him this week for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So once again, we'll be back. Sports Rage Late Night. I'm George Kurtz in for Gabe Morenci. Gabe will be back tomorrow, we all hope. We'll be back after this.